Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
Take a rocket ship to the stars.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Will said, nah, man, I need a little bit more time. And they killing Will on here saying they did not invent grunge.
Has anyone suggested who did, or are they just going to say no and yell into the...
This is Kick Rocks. It's really...
I mean, you can say all the Seattle bands, like, group together if you want, like...
Fine, but who came out with the first album out there?
It was Nirvana. Mr. Kurt Cobain.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't care, but tell me who.
False.
What's true,
or
then?
Nirvana. They did not invent grunge.
Kick Rocks, you are incorrect.
Who did, then? And who did?
Pearl Jam.
They came out, their first album was 5 years later.
He said Eddie Vedder was 5 years later.
I'm a big fan of both of those, by the way. I didn't know.
Kick Rock said Soundgarden did.
Soundgarden, huh?
I wouldn't say they're grunge.
I'd say
they're more leaning towards like the alternative kind of sector of the genre.
I'm no music buff or anything, but I mean, I'd say Nirvana's on a whole different level, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Change the game.
Well, no, I'm not going to change the game. I'm just talking about from popularity to I mean, like notoriety, like people that recognize, like I know I ain't got a Soundgarden song for you.
Yeah.
I know a couple of them. I used to buy, I had them JL Audio 10s underneath the back seat of that Chevy, man. I used to bang some Soundgarden, no question. But I ain't got the name of the songs. Nirvana?
I don't have
that album with that little naked baby floating in the pool.
Never mind.
Front to top to bottom, baby.
Everybody
front
knows
back, that album right there.
Everybody knows Smells Like Teen Spirit.
No question.
First note, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, hell, man.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here.
All of that. Right, Ron?
Oh, I like Nevermind. Great album. I'm more of an In Bloom fella myself, but
Ron's a big Kings of Leon guy.
I love Kings. Huge big fan, Kings right? guy.
Huge.
Would
fan.
That be grunge?
No.
That's rock.
Yeah.
What's the definition of grunge?
Or sex music.
I think that was more of an era.
It's like
versus
rustic.
Today, you probably have no grunge.
It's just coming out of the hair bands and then going into the more of a rustic, hard, punch hit.
A little bit depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not a little bit.
Yeah. A whole lot of it.
Yeah. A whole lot of it. All right. Clint Sterner's in the building. You see Will right there. I said, Will put his feet up and turned to Tyler. He said, we have got to.
Yeah, good and comfortable. We get comfortable with this conversation.
We got to figure out what the hell is going
like
on. As I said, hey, Chris Sims he is a believer. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard D'Amico talk about C.J. Stroud like this. This is him talking about where he sees CJ, his place, what he thinks about CJ when it comes to the league. And I just want to know, you can listen 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you think he is on target with this, or do you think Chris Sims is being a little aggressive? Here's Chris Sims talking about CJ Stroud.
All in all, it's all on the up and up. And I think way too much of the negatives of the Houston Texans got put on C.J. Stroud last year. He is one of the best quarterbacks in football. He's one of the best throwers in football. He's one of the best passers in football. He's one of the best decision makers in football. And he's clutch as hell. And the team believes in him. He's one of those guys. He's rare. I love watching C.J. Stroud. I think this year will be better than any year he's had in his career to this point.
First time Will's heard the boner alert there.
A lot of southern blood flow on this program,
man,
Will.
I mean, my man, he is a fan. I mean, that year one is, as we talked about, Clint, that was a hell of a year.
Yeah.
You said, I think you've gone on record and said you're not sure that he will ever have a better quarterback year than that. My man Chris Sims said it's going to be the best year he's ever had.
Yeah, I don't think statistically he'll have a better year. You lead the league in passing yards per game and fewest interceptions. I'd be interested to somebody go back and see how often a quarterback's accomplished that. You know, and win 10 games, drag an organization out of dysfunction into the second round of the playoffs. Yeah, that whole thing was wild. And then you watch how he did it. It was like surgical, like Brady surgical. Like, that's wild. I can get to where Chris Sims is at.
I don't think he even said anything crazy.
No, he just said it with a lot of energy and repeated himself a bit. But like,
oh my goodness.
Look, he is an elite processor among quarterbacks in the NFL. He's an elite processor. He is an elite passer.
He even showed that last year. Year one, he was that. Because that's the one thing that got me was he's one of the best decision makers in football. Year one. Yes, that was one of the things.
Well, he was under extreme pressure last year. Now, to your point, Ron, I like where you're going. He's got to be better. I think CJ, I was as hard on CJ as anybody last year. Took a lot of flack around here from fans, but like, CJ's got to be better. CJ's got to be better at avoiding pressure. Whether the line's any good or not, CJ's got to make better decisions. CJ's got to be aware of like, hey, man, my offensive line ain't worth a damn. I got to quit this five-headed monster and being aggressive and stretching the field mentality. Like, CJ's got to be better. But the whole point is, like, the whole package of CJ Stroud, if we're talking about going to year three, we can't just not talk about year one, right? And so I think when I look at CJ Stroud right now, I do believe he's an elite processor. I believe he's an elite passer. I believe he's clutch. I believe if you surround him with average, he will make them good to great. I do believe that.
God bless, brother.
I don't know what level of leader he is, like alpha leader he is. Is he a take the bull by the horns and you can literally put the whole organization on his back and he will get everybody in line and keep. I don't know about that, but from a quarterback playing the quarterback position, Will, I firmly believe that he is elite in the areas that you have to be elite to sustain to have like sustainable success in the league. He's elite.
If you go back to what Chris said, he didn't say he was top five or the best. He said he was one of the best.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Yeah. So is he top half? Like, for sure.
Yeah.
In all of that. In football, we always do this. We want to put everything on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We also want to say it's the most team-driven sport in all of sports.
Right.
So you can't really do both. He was under pressure last year. It ruined his career or his game and season last year.
But
he's somewhere between.
Took out his career.
I think we can all agree.
Kendrick Green, you ruined his damn career.
Put him up.
He's somewhere between year one and year two, and I think we can all agree he's certainly closer to year one. But like, you got to have help around you in football to be worth anything, especially at the quarterback position, but also admit he regressed last year and has to be better at processing and keeping himself safe as well.
I just have an issue, not an issue, I just with word choice. Like, I'm just going to be honest, not some of you going to get pissed. I mean, you know, I don't give a damn. The last time we saw C.J. Stroud, he was not one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Agreed.
Agreed. I'm just saying the last time.
I agree.
Now, I agree with both of you. You combine what we saw year one, MVP candidate.
Well, I think we also knew even through year one, right, Ron? Like, that wasn't sustainable for a career. Like, that wasn't going to happen year in, year out.
As to steal a line from Clinton Jacob Sterner, it was pretty convincing. The way he did things, right? It wasn't like, man, he is fitting a lot of balls in tight spaces. No, it was like he's executing the math problem and just bam, and he's doing that. Hell, Nico could be hurt. I'll still make some things happen. That's why it was more convincing. But last year he was not one of the best quarterbacks we saw. There were factors that are out of his control, but there were also factors that was in his control that he's gotta get better than. Right? Like, when I'm thinking about the best quarterbacks in the league, you know the names of them. He did not have the season last year. Now, the way I just quabble with word choice is, I think he is fully capable of being all of what Chris Sims said. I think he is fully capable of being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think he is fully capable of consistently being one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league, one of the best decision makers of the league. I'm not there to a point to say he is like Chris did. I think he can grow to be to that. Just maybe a quabble with the words.
You've just got to do it all when it matters the most. There's a lot of regular season quarterbacks that have been great and been clutch and been this and been that and been elite, and then all of a sudden you get the playoffs, and for whatever reason, whether it's you or your team, you know, you shrink in the moment. And that's what's going to dictate whether C.J. Stroud becomes, like, if he should be mentioned in the same sentence with those great quarterbacks you're talking about.
And I think,
what does he do in the playoff?
We have a standard, right? Like, we got to hold him to the standard we believe he holds himself to, what's the Texans standard?
What is the standard?
Like, you have to be the reason you're winning. You have to lead the charge. You're not, you know, every quarterback's a game manager. I hate that term. But, like, you can put it on your shoulders like you did in that Tampa game at any given moment and think about 80% of the time, 70% of the time, whatever is reasonable, like, it's going to come out in your favor.
Yeah. All right, he went on to say more, and I think many people will agree with this. This is Chris Sims talking about the moves made that kind of proves what the Texans feel about CJ from last year.
There's a reason they fired their offensive coordinator after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's a reason they've totally said, the hell with our offensive line after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They are telling you without telling you, the problems were the team, were not C.J. Stroud. It was our pass protection scheme and our offensive line. And that's what they had to fix. And C.J. Stroud, the Texans, I will not be shocked if they're in the Super Bowl this year.
I don't know how he slid there at the end there. I feel like he was going, and then the
arrows pointed up.
My man was feeling for a dismount, and that dismount went, man, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl or bust.
But Will, though, to what he's saying, then we should see, with now the control is different. Center's not calling out protections anymore. He's gonna have a lot more control and responsibility. If that was it, like the Texans are, because I agree with Chris, the Texans are saying that was it. If that was it, then I don't know. Maybe Clint can tell us how fast this is going to take. But we should see a significant difference from whatever those issues were that plagued him if he's in control.
Well, look, I think it's easy. I mean, the biggest mistake that was made last year was the identity change. I mean, it failed miserably because they couldn't protect the quarterback. Now, we all look at it and go, well, the pass protection sucked. Yeah, well, but it goes back further than that. The very first practice of two-a-days last year, CJ, what would you like to change from last year to this year? We want to be more aggressive. We just signed all these five-headed monsters. We want to be more aggressive, drive the football down the field, do this, do that. And I looked at Ron immediately and said, this season is going to hinge on how well he juggles that mentality but still has a product the way he played the game his rookie year. Like, how do you juggle those two things, right? The offensive line couldn't protect with this aggressive, drive the ball down the field, yada, yada, yada stuff. The mentality switched from, we got a young quarterback, let's keep it simple. We got an injured offensive line, let's protect our quarterback and get the football out, scheme some things up. We got all our wide receivers hurt, let's move Nico Collins around and get him the ball in creative ways so we get our best player touches. And they won 10 games in the second round of the playoffs. The next year, they got all this talent. They're going to establish the run. They're going to get digs. They're going to be explosive. They got this and they got that. And the O-line couldn't block. Right? The identity shift was what ultimately was the biggest problem.
Yeah, it became a run-first team coming in. It was you pass and you set up the run and you use Joe late.
The football should always, like, if they'd have gone into year two the same way that they approached the entire season year one, Bobby Slowick would still have a job.
Yeah, what do you think?
And like, C.J. Stroud would not have been the most pressured quarterback last year.
Like, was the line that bad? I think the answer is yes, but also, like, as we've learned, Bobby just, there was no plan B once he got punched in the face. Once someone looked at him, he didn't have another plan.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't think there was. I think what drove Bobby up out of here was the hard headedness. Like, doing the same stuff. We heard it every week. It was like, we just got to execute. He would say it. We got to execute what we're doing. And then you go out there the next week and they wouldn't execute. So there was a resistance to change where the year before, boy, they changed on the fly to protect their young quarterback and all these different things. And that ultimately is, I think, what bit him in the ass.
That's always, to me, is like that same person did all of that stuff the first year.
And but now, there's no tape on him, right?
And now, kind of the thing? Yeah, but I mean, but he would make adjustments. There were changes. There were adjustments. There were different.
Oh, I'd argue there was weekly adjustments that were made. That's I'm saying. The rookie year by CJ and Bobby was ridiculously impressive.
And then all of a sudden, the second year, it's
all of a sudden you got issues with the second year. Yeah. But goes back to what I'm saying. Like the mindset changed because Bobby said it too, not just CJ, was they had these intentions to, and look at how they built the roster. They clearly had intentions to be more explosive, more versatile, drive the football down the field.
Thought they had a better offensive line that would give them a chance.
Yeah, and it didn't work. And what we talked about earlier, all of a sudden you got some adversity. Mm-hmm. Now, in this instance, it seems like the adversity exposed the staff, the coaching staff, O-line coach and the offensive coordinator, and Laramie Tunsil, I would say, but more of those guys than C.J. Stroud and some of the youngsters. But that adversity, I think exposed them. And somebody got to go.
I think at one point, we're going to come to the point in C.J.'s career, and like we all love C.J., right? We hold him, we coddle him, like we can't say anything bad about him without fans going crazy. Well, at some point, the kid's gloves got to come off. And like it is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be, and he has to be accountable, and we have to hold him to that standard. Agreed. Versus blaming everybody and everything around him. Like at some
be careful.
Point,
you're going to get over here. You're going to get over here in Dirty's boat, and you're going to get shots off that text line.
I mean, it's what it is. Like we do it to Aaron Rodgers, yeah. You do it to Tom Brady. Like at some point, if you're that good, the problems are your fault.
Well,
and I'm not saying that was the case last year.
At some point, the quarterback has to put his foot down and go, I don't give a damn who's calling the plays. Yeah. I'm going to protect my offensive line. I'm going to be aware of the situation. I'm going to do these things. And
you overcome.
You almost arrive and become that guy that is like, we're going to do it my way, and I'm the identity of this offense, and this is how we do things, and I'm going to play a smart brand of ball instead of whatever somebody's preaching into my ear is my approach to football that year.
Stock up, stock down, coming up next right here as we continue live on The Drive.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, big boy Sky. The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. H-Town's number one afternoon sports talk program. 2 to 6 p.m. and every Wednesday, right around this time, 3:20 p.m. locally, we do a little stock up, stock down. Today's flavor is these 2025 NBA Finals. Thunder, Pacers. Thunder currently leading these NBA Finals now 3-2. Game 6 coming up tomorrow night, I believe, Thursday evening. I want to start with you, Ron, the show. What is your stock up for this year's finals between Indiana and OKC?
Yeah, we got to get it in quick here. This thing's about to be done. NBA season's about to be over. A little stock up, stock down.
No more hoops.
My stock up is, oddly enough, Kevin Durant.
Huh?
The Slim Reaper.
Kevin Durant somehow has become as big a story during the NBA Finals as the NBA Finals has become. Kevin Durant somehow is still at 37 years old, a guy that, you know, whose team didn't make it to the playoffs last year, and still is at the very least, fellas, the 1B storyline right now during the NBA Finals. And it's crazy to still think that he has the power to at least be on the same level of the finals. And that is, like, if you talk about the NBA right now, it's either Kevin Durant or it's the finals right now. And it is a 1-2 punch. So stock up. Kevin Durant, man, even though you're 37, and you know, people feel like you've won fake championships or asterisk championships, you are still a viable, talked about person, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I heard he was walking around with a cane, man. He's getting up there. But we'll see what happens.
He's walking around with one of them walkers, and he's got tennis balls at the bottom.
Tennis balls. Was that just so for grip?
So it slides, G.
Slides.
The rubber thing stops.
Yeah, slides.
That old rubber ball makes it slide. The tennis ball makes it slide.
I hadn't thought about that since I was like a little kid. All right, this is Stock Up, Stock Down, live on The Drive. Sterner, Hughley. That was around the show, Hughley Stock Up. In today's edition of the stocks is the NBA Finals. Clint Sterner, over to you. What is your stock up for the 2025 Finals between OKC and Indiana?
The Energizer Bunny, baby, TJ McConnell. Mm. I mean, his stock has never been this high, and I don't know that it'll ever get higher. I mean, he played really well. He set the tone, set the tempo, set the pace. The argument right now is, why the hell didn't he play more in the fourth quarter? What are we going to do? And it looks like, I know Halliburton, I think, is going to give it a go here. But it looks like if they're going to push the pace, OTJ may get quite a bit of run in game six and be able to impact game six in a big way. TJ McConnell, he may not ever make the stock up to this level ever again.
TJ is working on never having to buy any meals or drinks in the state of Indiana is what he is.
Yeah.
That value has never climbed higher for the young man.
I think he's right there. He may be right there next to Caitlin Clark, right there in Indiana, right there.
Oh, and also why his stock's up. His sister's a smoke show.
So I still have not seen
I'll that. Have to do, I forgot to do that research. Really? But me and Cheryl.
I mean, the picture I saw, she was. Cheryl! I mean.
His dad sure is fun.
I mean, it was one of those pictures where I went, that's the little TJ, the little energizer buzzy that's running around here. That's his sister?
Sister?
Yeah. She plays in the WNBA.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
That's the picture I saw. She was, because he wore her jersey to one of the games. And his little walk-in outfit.
Oh, I did not know that. Good for them. Man, that family right there. I haven't looked.
I'm going to do the research in the
break.
She's
solid.
All right, this is Stock Up, Stock Down, live on The Drive, Sterner and Hughley. We got the Stock Ups done with. Today's edition of these stocks is for the 2025 Finals. Thunder leading 3-2 over the Pacers. Game 6 coming tomorrow night. Ron, back to you. What is your stock down for these finals?
Well, it certainly isn't Megan McConnell, but I will lean towards just the Pacers in general.
Makes my stock go up.
Yeah, I know. The Pacers in general, teams like the Pacers don't get these opportunities. And I don't think that this is a group, fellas, that's going to continue to make runs. Like, I don't look at this like some look at OKC, and I'd be willing to look at it too as, yo, they're going to be around for years to come. I think this was a magical year for Indiana when it comes to things falling just right, like Jason Tatum getting injured and them not being on the same side as Jason Tatum. And, the Cavs having injuries in that series. They had Garland was hurt. Evan Mobley was hurt. I don't think Mitchell was 100%. It has really fallen well for them, and their best player is a game time decision. And even if he does play, Clint, he's not going to be 100%. And teams like Indiana just don't get chances to win championships like this. And I feel like this may be their best chance in a while. I don't see them being a regular participant and getting through the East, because I think we're going to see tougher teams in the East get added to. Durant might get to the East. Somebody else might go wherever Giannis is. So that one, my stock down is to the Pacers. This is potentially a lost opportunity.
As we're coming to the end of this 2025 NBA season, the NBA Finals getting ready to wrap up. Game 6 tomorrow. That was around the show, Stock Down. Now put a bow on it for us, Dirty Red. Clint Sterner, what is your stock down for the 2025 Finals, Thunder Pacers?
The Afro-German, man. The Afro-German, Isaiah Hartenstein, man. He's cost me a little bit of money. Coming into this thing, that was my lock bet, man. You, 9.5, over, under, 9.5, I'm over, man. He's getting double digits.
Should have been betting the bald mamba.
I think he's done it once in the postseason. I think he had 12 points once. Two points here, 4 points here. The Afro-German, I thought we'd be talking about
his role point. Really has slid down a little
bit. Yeah, it's diminished, man. It's diminished. And I guess they're playing a little smaller lineup with Chet being with the pace.
The couple of times, and I think it did work in game 4, a couple of times they went that double big lineup with him and Chet, but they haven't been doing that, and it's been him.
He's cost me a little money along the way, too. So,
shout out to Isaiah.
Speaking of, I think tomorrow, Thursday night for game 6, best bets at 5:45, that's going to be game 6 NBA Finals.
You're already claiming it, huh?
Yeah.
You're already feeling it, huh?
That's the long tease.
Yeah.
That the last game
is that a vertical or horizontal tease?
It's actually diagonal.
Okay.
Gotcha. Slight zigzag about 3/4.
My two options I gave him wasn't good enough, Ron.
Man, that's how I win it.
Be better, man.
That's how I win. All right, coming up as we continue. Uh-oh. She was trending again last night.
Joy?
No.
Taylor?
Kate.
Ah.
Oh, Caitlin Clark was trending again last night. Boy, why was she trending? Was it for her greatness? No. We got to discuss that. We'll do that coming up next right here live on The Drive. I'm at my drop top, cruising the streets.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You going to be up all night with the your Razorbacks?
Ain't all night. 7 o'clock, right?
7 o'clock?
I think it's 6 here, isn't it? 6 yeah. Central?
They got you sucked in right now?
Oh, yeah, they do.
That kid can't pitch again today, right?
No, he can't pitch again today. No.
I'm about to say, he threw 100.
No hitter? Gage yeah. Wood? No.
But Gage try to get in there? You told him. Now, you know, they will throw caution to the wind on some of those kids.
Oh, no, we get in trouble. He may get us an inning.
He might get us.
But the interesting thing was, you know, the bullpen, he rested the bullpen. Like, his no-hitter is going to allow him to get all – should allow him to get all the rest that he needs. Because we didn't use, obviously, anybody other than him in that game. So, we should be able – the whole bullpen's fresh. All the starters are fresh. So
what
are
they? Because they won, what, 7? It was 7-1 when I saw in the ninth against UCLA. Did they have to use
– I didn't –
I think it was. I think it ended up being 7-2, 7-3, or something like that. But they got LSU tonight. See if you.
That's who knocked them off on Friday.
See if your Hogs will see if they can advance here. By the way,
thing is that young kid. It's one of the best in college. I think he's number 8 prospect coming out of shortstop. He is on fire at the plate.
Is it?
Oh, he's on fire at the plate. I mean, it is. Whew. We'll see.
Look for you. Someone text in Tyler. So when the hell are y'all going to talk about the Florida Panthers winning their second straight Stanley Cup?
I was just about to mention that.
I've been. Yeah. I had something built in there. No, it is. It has to be. And shout out to Kachuk and them boys out there, Pravowski. And I got a few. He's been
no
on the roll.
No one else does. He's
been on a roll as a goalie there. Was it Sam Reinhardt? He had 4 goals last night, first time since.
That glove save the other night.
1960. No, that's Sam. Sam scored 4 goals last night in the clinch.
Said the other night.
Yeah, well, he's a goalie. If a goalie scored 4 goals,
he said the other night. You're right.
Yeah, you didn't see it.
No, I gotta believe those people in Edmonton. They have to be beside themselves. Like, if you would think about, like, I ain't going to act like we know a lot about hockey here. But what we do know is, I would imagine in Edmonton, this is everything.
Oh, Canada?
This is, like, this here. They've been to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, and they lost with, they got the best player in Connor McDavid, and they lost both times to that team in Miami. And how much do you think the people of Miami give a damn about? What do you think the care factor? I'm not gonna say that nobody does, but what do you think the care factor is? If you think about any of the other teams in all of the National Hockey League whose give a rip factor about winning the Stanley Cup comparative to Edmonton, I mean, what, Vegas? I mean, those people in Miami, they don't even care about the Dolphins.
Tua, who?
Again, I mean, there may be some Panther fans listening. I'm not saying there aren't any, but God, they don't.
Carolina, maybe.
I mean, it has to be killing. It has to be killing Edmonton. Their entire year is completely built around this.
Yeah, Canada doesn't have a lot else to look forward to.
And those bastards in Miami are the ones who are just winning this. Now salsa dancing, don't even give a damn. Half the people don't even know what happened.
And Edmonton fans now just going to be pissed off and cold forever.
If this happened in St. if the Blues, they can handle it. If
St. Louis?
If the Bruins did it, they can handle it. They can handle it. Hell, the Rangers.
Boston
the
Islanders, fans are pretty diehard, aren't they?
Not Miami. And they got a dynasty. They've been to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals. Won the last 2. Shout out. So shout out to them. We mentioned it.
Gordon Bombay would have been proud.
I don't think so.
He would have never won with that strategy.
That's one of my favorite movies. Well, I got all of them.
Loved them, man.
Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. You don't deserve to wear that jersey. You may own it. You don't deserve to
Goldberg
wear that.
Goldberg was so funny.
Oh, my God, man.
I love that chubby little kid.
I'll tell you, I can get into the flying V right now. I was Jesse Hall.
Not a tough formation.
I was Jesse Hall. Of course, I'd...
The flying V, huh?
Yeah, I was Jesse Hall. Of course, I'd kind of slid towards the black gentleman of the group.
We identify with those that most look and resemble
Clint
ourselves.
Looks like he identified with Fulton Reed.
Does that have to do with the lasso?
No. Fulton Reed is the one that...
Oh, he's got to be the guy with the lasso.
No. Fulton Reed was the big dude that had the power shot took folks out.
Slap shot.
Yeah, the guy from Iceland had the save, and he had the imprint of the putt because Fulton Reed.
They'd like zoom in real hard onto the goalie whenever he hit it.
Yeah. Shout out. Yeah, you got him there. Huh? Not the cowboy from Austin, Texas. Right now, I can't remember his name. Text line, come through. What was the cowboy's name from Austin, Texas? I can't remember his name. That pisses me off. All right, Caitlin Clark was trending last night.
That happens ever so often lately, huh?
Yeah, it does. It does. And so Saturday, she was trending because she was shooting from 30 feet and continued to hit three after three after three and made six in the first half and scored 32. And that's the way you want the trending. Yesterday, she was trending because there was a dust-up. In Indianapolis, there was a dust up between the Connecticut Sun and the Indiana Fever, and Caitlin Clark was in the middle of it. And Clint, I know you saw it. I saw you comment about it. What was your takeaway from this one? This Caitlin Clark. Did you think it was that big of a deal?
I mean, yeah, I thought it was over the top. Yeah, I thought it was outside the norm. I thought it was a bit aggressive, even given the circumstances. I thought the way they rushed her was something that was kind of was outside the norm. But the biggest thing for me, Ron, is not, you know, the treatment that Caitlin Clark is or isn't getting, or was it fair or was it not. The crazy part to me with Caitlin Clark is how soft her teammates are. I mean, I watched that video time and time and time again, and when big girl rushed Caitlin Clark from the Connecticut Sun and knocked her to the ground, there was other Connecticut Sun players that were more aggressive and had more sense of urgency getting over there to get in the mix and see what was going on and talk that trash than Caitlin Clark's own teammates were to get over there and aggressively defend her.
They were more trying to pull him away and get
in. Yeah, well, the one gal that ended up tackling the little guard that later on in the game, she kind of stepped in between the girl that Caitlin was guarding and Caitlin was – but the other ones that came out of nowhere and bum-rushed her was like – you got two other bigger girls that play with Caitlin that literally looked like they were disinterested in what was going on right there. Like, I thought the same thing last year. Like, forget about why, right, wrong, all the bull job that goes on.
That was the biggest thing that jumped out to you.
No, like, hey, man, like, just somebody. Like, if you don't have, like, if the Fever don't have that, go find the person that's going to be the enforcer.
Well, Sophie took her out later.
Sophie, she handled up later on. I just don't, like, and maybe that gal that rushed Caitlin and knocked her down, maybe she's just that gal that's just that bad and nobody wants to mess with her. But, like, I mentioned her name earlier. What's my
Aaliyah
girl?
Boston.
Aaliyah Boston. Like, she is, like, disinterested in ever having any level of confrontation.
She's more peacemaker.
Oh, yeah. But it's like somebody's got – Indiana has to find somebody that is going to be like the hockey enforcer of like, I know she's talking trash. I know she's good. I know she's knocking down threes. I know you may have a little chip on your shoulder about the notoriety she gets or whatever. But you ain't gonna come at her like that. Like, somebody's got to – like, I am blown away that nobody – really, I mean, with the exception, like I said, Sophie got her later, and Sophie did get in between the two that initially started. But, golly, the thought that right there isn't a shoving match, at least with the big girls on the team, blows my mind.
See, I said, we talked earlier, like, that to me is in the realm of the sport, like the normality of sports, right? I think you would do that – if somebody came up and leveled Anthony Edwards and Rudy just stood there,
yes.
Right? You would, yes. Like, that would be your biggest thing. My thing is, it feels like some...
I'd be quicker to defend you in public.
Yeah.
And there's a chance I could get shanked or shot for you. They're protected being on the court.
Yeah. I feel like some people are leaving their sports brains...
Or shot.
Their sports brains at the door when it comes to women's basketball, in particular with Caitlin Clark. Like, this is a... I agree. Last year, the Chicago Sky situation with Kennedy Carter just... appeared to be no real reason, just absolutely blindsided her from behind, and then their bench along with Angel Reese are celebrating on the sideline. That felt a little bit extra than like, hey man, we're competing. This game was chippy from the jump. They had multiple situations where things were going, both teams going back and forth. This wasn't the first time, like technicals, whatever. There were multiple ejections and technicals in this game. There were probably two other incidents from the one that Caitlin was in. So it was a chippy game. And to me, it's like, you know, Caitlin got a foul, got poked in the eye. She kind of pushed the girl who poked her, and then their teammate came in and chested her to the ground. And then, like you said, somebody for the Fever should have probably did it to her. Like, we see that in basketball a lot to me. And to me, that is an unusual to me. And I do feel like some people are taking this to another space of saying, like, you know, the thought of like, hey, Caitlin is the one that's bringing eyes here. She's the one that's bringing eyeballs here. Like, hey. Like, what are you all doing? Now you're trying to hurt her. No, I think it's competition. Like, I don't think that they got up there and like, all right, man, we're going to sit her ass down. Like, we're going to take her ass out.
Talk to it.
I think this is a lot like when Jordan was running to the Celtics and the Pistons. This is a lot like when LeBron has run into people, taking him out. This is Steph will run into people and... I think it should have been flagrant. I think Sophie should have been ejected when she just came down there and just said to hell with it, man. I'm just going to take her down in midair. I think that's the case, but I don't think this would be as big a deal if it was in the NBA. Even to LeBron or Steph, wherever the top player is.
I don't think
people would be going in and saying the league needs to protect LeBron.
Yeah, I don't know. Steph. I don't know how much the league needs to protect her. I mean, I don't think that's a reality. I don't know how much the league can do that. I think her teammates need to.
I think her teammates need
to make a statement of, hey, look, you. And it's not about this girl selling tickets. It's about, hey, this is our best player. She's one of our smaller players. Just like the Connecticut Sun big girls did for their guard last night when Caitlin got back and pushed her. That's exactly what they should be doing for the best player in the damn league. That's what they should be doing. Maybe not. I've got aggressive there. Asia's pretty good.
Asia will.
But they should be defending her. And they don't. That's the crazy part to me. Forget all the other stuff, man. I think in reality it probably falls somewhere in the middle. Do I think that that a good chunk of the league has it out for Caitlin Clark a little more than they do everybody else, and maybe treat her and a little more aggressive than everybody else? Yes. Do I think it's worth debating and arguing about? No. It's not. At the end of the day, defend your own and let's keep it moving. And I'm just shocked that they don't defend O'Gale more.
No, I just watch Cooper Flagg. He gets out there. They're gonna be on his ass.
If I were that coach, I don't know how she doesn't play the film and go, hey, look, you see how when Caitlin pushed this girl, these other two girls came to her defense. Now what the hell y'all two doing? The hell y'all waiting on?
Text line 100% racism because Clark is white. Period. Those were two white women who pushed Caitlin last night.
That's what the whites used to do.
Damn it, that didn't fit. Damn it.
That's what she said.
Damn it. Oh, they were white. I pushed her. Hug on it. It was close, though. It was close. What you got coming
there
up?
There was a black chick in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, she was standing.
There was a couple black chicks on the floor.
I've seen a ton of shots where it's Tina Charles standing, and she's on the ground like this, and it looks, oh, they got the perfect one, huh?
Hey, why was she standing there? mean-looking girl. Oh, shit. All right, y'all. Oop, got to dump that.
Now y'all both have said that word. Great job, guys. Be professional.
I mean, that was an accident, man. That was an accident. Sorry, boys. All right, getting to the finish line. Getting to the finish line today may be the answer, but I'm talking about the Astros. The Astros getting to the finish line is key here, y'all. We got one step closer last night. I'll explain exactly what I'm talking about, who I'm talking about, and we will discuss next right here on Sports Radio 16.